Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. So we're hoping that you can hear us all. GLaDOS decided to take control of the show right as we started. She's like, no.
That wasn't just for you. I just totally locked up. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't talk. I was like, hello.
Well, I can still hear. So maybe it was just you.
Maybe it was just me. It was weird. It was, there was nothing. I heard 5, 4, 3, and then nothing.
Wow. So, good morning. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay! And I am the Ginger.
Yes, she is the red-haired evil stepchild with the cute little girly voice.
I know, right?
And I am Corey.
And I got called evil incarnate last night. That was kind of interesting.
You are. I'm kind of scared of you, Ginger. And I'm not scared of many people. We all know.
I'm too sweet to be scared.
That's exactly why you're scary, because you're so sweet. It's always the sweet ones.
It was hilarious.
Okay, before I jump and dive into the news this morning, I had to reach back and grab this oldie but goodie you hear playing in the background. This is from early GGR, A-B-A-C-A-A-B. Yes, the title of that song is by Lyric and Zionide. Where have you guys gone? I haven't, like, talked to you in 15 umpteen years.
I don't know.
Yeah, we need a new GGR thing.
A new GGR thing?
I said theme. They did one for us a long time ago. We kind of like our random themes every morning, though. You all seem to like it.
Yeah.
But you can probably find this one somewhere floating around on YouTube. I just happened to find this on my hard drive and went, oh, my God, I can't believe I still have this. Wow. So, Ginger, how are you this morning?
I'm a little congested, which, you know, it's Texas, so that is fine. But otherwise, I'm good. I am excited, and I am waiting, because Corey says we have big news.
And we have lots of static. Curse you, GLaDOS! Okay.
GLaDOS, you had better let me go.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not the morning for you to be messing
well,
with me, GLaDOS.
She didn't just have you. She has all of us. In any case, the news that I got this morning came to me via our peoples over at the ECA and from a little television network called TBS. You may have heard of it, you know, where they broadcast that show, The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely, lovely news this morning. So all of you that are geeks and nerds, gather close to the speaker. Hold your hands out and rub them together. You know how you do when you're warming things. You're warming your hands.
All right, rub my hands together, not the boobs. Okay. Got it.
Be nice, Ginger. The people at TBS are listening.
Okay, TBS. How you doing?
They are putting together a lovely new show that's going to be called King of the Nerds, which I'm going to call Queen of the Nerds from this day forward. Sorry,
yay,
CBS.
King of the Nerds. All right, so what's it about?
Well, let me clear my throat. And remember the golden rule here, never scroll, which I just did. The show is competition-based. It's designed to showcase all of your passions and knowledge of geeks and nerds of all kinds. Yes, you, male, female, girl that dances on the desk every morning when we come online, between the ages of 18 and 30. Sorry, some of us are a little too old.
Oh, you mean I only got a couple of months?
You got to get it in. Get in while you fit in, Ginger. You compete to win the ultimate geek grand prize, which they did not tell me when I spoke this morning. I forgot to ask. Imagine me forgetting to ask because I can't enter. In addition to winning big, this is ultimately an opportunity for any of you self-proclaimed geeks to put your intellect and resume in front of millions of people. So you girls out there that keep wanting to get in the industry that think you have to flash the boobies and put on the underwear, don't do it. This is where you need to be. You won't have to show a thing, I'm guessing. They're looking for not just gaming geeks, but mathematicians, scientists, programmers, inventors, puzzle masters, engineers, gamers, comic book geeks, movie buffs, Trekkies, chess masters, role players, and you Star Wars people, what do they call them? Darwinians, maybe? Yeah, you too. You World of Warcraft people, all of you.
TBS is listening, or I had a remark for that.
They want those of you who live and breathe your passion, not those of you who just do it on Friday or just troll the boards because, you know, every once in a while you're bored. They also want you to be competitive, and they want you to have a personality. So if people say that they fall asleep when you're blinking, you're not even saying anything, then this is not competition for you. You can forward your information over to them. Oh, you say where? Well, go to our website, GameAndHX.com, and look for the King of the Nerds. Or actually, the title we put was So You're a Geek, Huh? Prove It. Look for the title of that. Look to the live title of that story. And look at the flyer. Make sure you share it with all your friends and buddies unless you're planning to compete against them. And all the information on how to enter is there. However, be aware, you have until Monday to get your entry in. I think the flyer says the 18th, but I have confirmed it is Monday. The 21st is your deadline to get your information in. If you're like, who are these people that are putting on this show? Did I tell them?
I don't know.
Did I tell them who they beat? Well, people are the minds behind Mythbusters, Survivor, and The Amazing Race. So, yes, you want to enter this. And the show is going to air right after The Big Bang Theory. Can you ask for a better slot?
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Seriously, I may have to put in my package for this.
Let me tell you, I'm a latecomer to The Big Bang Theory, but this is how hardcore I am already. Last night, I'm dead tired. No, and Ginger can tell you, I'm just done working on contract work for somebody. And I heard The Big Bang Theory come on, and I woke right up.
That's awesome. You know, I've not watched that. I may have to go check it out now.
Oh.
Because I know. I'm one of those geek nerd people who I don't actually own a TV or cable TV.
You can watch it on their website. I know TBS has an app for, I want to say Android.
There's an app for that.
Oh, check it out. You'll love it. I kept hearing people say, oh, it's great, it's a geek show. But, you know, some geek shows don't, they're not actually geeky. People that are non-geek think that some shows are geek shows and they're not. But it actually is. The whole episode where the guy stole somebody, I can't remember the whole show because I kind of came in the middle, but the guy stole one of the characters on World of Warcraft sword or something like that or he went to his house. Why can't I remember Will's name this morning? Oh, he's going to cut me next time I see him. I'm sorry.
No, it's a cutting.
Everybody knows who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, Will.
Yeah.
Will has been on there several times. I want to say Felicia Day has made an appearance or two, and if she hasn't been, she should be TV.
Felicia, why are you not following me yet? Felicia!
Well, Felicia Day. Okay, my phone is ringing, so that may be them calling. So we're going to jump to our next story so I can answer. I may have some more juicy.
All right. Well, then the next story is going to be mine. All right, so let's go. Minecraft hauls in 1 million Xbox 360 downloads. I am pulling this from the Yahoo tech section, actually, over in the video games. They say Minecraft's Xbox 360 version has tallied over 1 million sales in less than a week as compared to 5.9 million on Mac and PC over a two-year period. That's nuts, people. Especially with the reviews it's been getting, seriously. The May 9th release had already managed over 400,000 downloads during its first 24 hours, according to data gleaned from online leaderboards, beating the record set by Trials Evolution in April. Selling at 1,600 Microsoft points, which is $20 USD, 19 pounds, 14 euros, I think, and 2,400 yen, Minecraft had to contend with a selection of similar games already populating the Xbox 360's indie game channel, Castle Miner Z, Total Miner Forge, and Fortress Craft Chapter 1 among them, each available for a faction of the price. At launch, Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition was based on an older version first introduced to PC and Mac players in May of 2011. A tweet from 4J Studios, which brought the block-building experience to Xbox 360, revealed that bringing the 360 title in step with its July 2011 equivalent is high on their list of priorities. All right, so, yeah, way to go, Minecraft. This is kind of cool. Of course, like I said, I can't believe it's actually sold 1 million copies so far. Especially, I mean, it really, on the Xbox 360, did not get very good reviews. I mean, the game is good, but the fact that the social system and the way you're able to, or not able to interact, really kind of killed it for most people, it seems.
And then they had some issues to contend with as well. I keep telling you, I don't think this is going to do very well at all. I just don't. And it's not that I wish anything upon the Minecraft people. We love them.
We do. We really do.
I want to say they asked us something Oh, my God, they did. Oh. I suck. Okay, we'll talk after the show, Ginger.
You have something for me?
Not for you, but I think they sent us something, if I'm not mistaken.
Yay!
I don't think they sent us what you think, but I'm going to find out. Anyway. Let me move along. Okay, so this actually, we missed this last night. We were doing Pixinista, and we're a little tired. Sometimes we throw a news story or two in there, but I'm going to share this now. Those of our fellow female gamers who love to do them some web shopping at fab.com, you know, the ones that has the great commercials with the women walking with shoes and the song that kind of sounds like Single Ladies from Beyonce, but not really, they have relaunched today. This is their third relaunch. And it's being called the most ambitious version of their site. CEO Jason Goldberg says it's going to remind you of window shopping with your best friends. I'm not a window shopper. I don't want to look at it unless I'm going to buy it. But, hey, some of you out there like that. Fab.com is accomplishing this particular feat with just a few dinky plugins, or I'm sorry, with not just a few dinky plugins and add-ons, but as a wholesale redesign. They're saying the experience will really get you into shopping with your friends, not just what you bought, but what they're tweeting, what they're pinning, and they're liking. I may go over and look. We may have to get into the realm of making women's shoes, by the way, Ginger, after I look at this, because, you know, I get a bee in my bonnet. I'm like, oh, we got to make women's shoes. We got to do it.
Girl, that is already, that's already passed through my head. I was looking at, yeah.
So the relaunched
The
relaunched Fab homepage will feature algorithmically derived featured products based on real-time activity from fellow Fab members. It'll also show you a ticker for what's being bought at any given moment. Oh, my God, they have tapped into the woman's. They have tapped into the woman's mind. Oh, my God, because that is how you get me to buy stuff. Starting today, members can see what their friends from various social networks are noticing and buying in real time. They can also choose to pin items on Pinterest. Oof, evil. Or even make a purchase directly from the live feed. And Fab is bringing a much-needed search module to the site. You can drill down for specific products, designers, and categories. Anybody planning to buy me shoes? I am partial to Joel Madden's. The new Fab.com will also feature smile pages to give members in-depth profiles and stories about the designers behind Fab's product inventory. They said it's about making people smile. Mr. Goldberg is saying, says we're showing them that e-commerce can be fun. We care more about that and about the long-term relationship than just about making money. I can see some screenshots of the new site, and it's what we like. It's kind of cute. It's kind of cute in a good way. If you're not familiar with Fab.com, or you know your brain is tingling because you're trying to remember where you heard it, remember way back when they integrated it with Facebook's timeline is how they got all that love and attention, and via that they saw a 50% rise in their traffic from Facebook, and that was amazing because that's how they got me. Those are the ones we used to see that used to have the Pac-Man shoes. Remember, Ginger? Miss Pac-Man? The Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man heels and the Betty Boop stilettos.
Hot.
But they never had them. That's just how they got us over there, us gamers.
I know. I'd get over there, and then they weren't there. I was like,
Now, they're doing quite well. They have about $51.3 million in funding to date, and their most recent cash infusion was a stunning $40 million Series B last December. I hate you because I'm going to buy shoes. You know, I still haven't bought my shoes from Zappos.com. Anybody want to help me pick up my shoes from Zappos? I think I'll pin a few. You tell me which ones you'd like to see me fall down in, because I'm going to fall. I can't walk in them.
I will.
Ginger, what do you got?
Sorry, I'm coughing my head off over here. All right.
No.
I know, right? I'm trying not to. But this is a really long article, but I really want to read it because it's kind of amusing. So I'm going to try to skip through the pieces. I found it in the Yahoo Tech section. 15 current technologies a child born today will never use. And I'm going to cough my head off. All right, so, I know, right? From the moment that I found out my wife was pregnant with our first child, a son, I thought about his development in terms of tech. When pregnancy sites described our six-week-old fetus as the size of lentil, as the size of a lentil, I referred to him as the length of an RFID chip. When the doctor had said he had reached 1.3 pounds, I told all my friends that my son was the size of an iPad. When he was born this week, he was about the size of an HP Envy 15, though unfortunately his cries did not use Beats audio. Oh my God.
And
this
you
is
can't
totally
mute
creepy.
Him. You can't mute him.
Yes. As my newborn son grows to match the size of a mid-tower desktop, a large screen TV, and eventually a server rack, I can't help but think about all the gadgets he won't even remember using that were so important to his dad. I'm not talking about long dead and buried technology such as VHS recorder or the 35mm camera. Rather, I'm thinking about devices and concepts most of us use today that will fall out of mainstream use so soon that he either won't remember them or will only have very hazy memories of having lived with them. The first one the writer gives is wired internet. The first point I want to hit on. I was surprised when a 23-year-old coworker told me she didn't remember a time before broadband internet.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. At some point, her parents must have had dial-up, but she was so young that she doesn't even remember back that far. Wow. All right, so the second one.
Did you want to say the naked one, really?
I don't know. I blame snow. Anyways, dedicated cameras and camcorders. Smartphone cameras are already killing the consumer point and shoot and the family camcorder. True story, I don't even think I own a dedicated camera anymore. Landline phones. Yeah, I already don't have one of those. I haven't had a landline phone in
eight years. I do, because when the zombie apocalypse comes, Ginger, you're not going to be able to use the towers. We've already established this.
Yeah, but if they, you know, if services go down, the phone's not going to work, you know, hey.
Payphones will still work if you can find one. And landlines will still work. The basic ones that don't have the power, you have to plug in the whole thing to make it work.
Like 50 cents now? And I don't think I've had...
50 cents? Girl, that was in 1998. That's like a dollar and some change.
Really? I haven't used a payphone in forever. So I had to
because my cell phone died. I was like, I got to make a call.
Like, I have a jar of coins sitting here. They're going to remain sitting here because that's how often I use coins. Paper money? I know, I had to write a check the other day, and I was like, I don't remember how to do this.
Oh, my God, that happened to me, too. The lady says, why don't you write a check? And I pulled it out. I was like, I don't know how to do this. You just
I went to Walmart late at night. I needed a couple of things. I get there. I'd forgotten my credit card because I pulled it out to buy flowers for my mom online. And I hadn't put it back into my wallet, my Super Mario wallet, by the way. Anyway.
adorable.
I got to Walmart, and I got my items, got to check out, and I was like, oh, crap. I had debit cards, but I don't use them because I only use my credit card. So my debit card was, the first one I hadn't called in to get set up, and the second one was expired by 2 years. Ooh. So I was like, well, hell, I was walking away, and I was like, wait a minute, I have a checkbook. So I put that out, and then I was like, I don't remember how to do this. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. Just, you know, hand it here, and my machine will do it. And, like, it totally did. And then she hands it back, and I was like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to keep this? No, we get those back now. So, anyways, I got off topic.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah. The other one would be slow-booting computers. No, I don't like those now. Windowed operating systems. Really? You don't think there's going to be Windows? I don't know about this. Hard drives. My first computer, a TI-99, used cassette tapes to store data. My second computer used 5.25-inch floppy disks.
Another
system had a combination of 3.5 floppy drive and small IDE hard drive.
Wow.
Yeah, I said the next PC had a zip drive and tape backup unit. I hadn't even thought about it, but yeah, it is changing so much. But hard drives, that's kind of, everybody needs those. I mean, even if they are updating and upgrading and changing, there's still going to be a hard drive, right? I don't want my computer to be cloud-based.
Okay, that I don't agree with. I don't want cloud-based. That's having too much access to information.
No, cloud-based. Movie theaters. I think there's still going to be movie theaters. They're just going to be outrageous in price.
I may be inclined to agree with the movie theater thing. May not be around. I would hate it because I like the experience of sometimes just being in the room with people, even though they get on my nerves, but sometimes I enjoy it. But, you have a lot more actors and actresses that are releasing movies that are going, especially since unfortunately I have Comcast, a lot of their movies don't even go to the movie theaters. They're just on Comcast. And it's big name actors. It's not small, no name brand people. These are big actors, and they're only on Comcast, their movies in the special movie section, or they put it on one of the cable networks only, HBO. Like you've got, Nicole, what's her face? The one that was married to Tom Cruise. I can't think of her name. I'm bad with names today. I'm usually good with names. Her and another actor are doing this movie based on Hemingway. I want to. It might not be Hemingway. One of those. One of the writers. Poe, Hemingway, one of those, based on their life. And it's not going to ever hit a movie screen. It's straight to HBO. And it's already getting, you know, Oscar buzz. So I think they may be dead on about that. Might not have any more movie theaters come here in
maybe
the next 10 or 15 years.
Maybe. The next thing they say is The Mouse. Within 5 years, the cost of adding capacitive touch capability to screens will be so small that every display from large screen TV to laptops will have it. More precise pointing devices such as the mouse and touchpad won't disappear overnight, but they'll likely fade away or become secondary input methods within the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Nicole
I think that
Kidman,
for everybody but
you.
Us with everybody but us gamers, because we kind of need our mouse, especially PC gamers. We need our mouse. Clicker finger. Thank you. My clicky finger is like amazing.
Ah, but what if they do something along the lines of that glove thing we were talking about yesterday that they have with cell phones?
That would be kind of cool.
And you could, you know, move your hand in the air, and if you needed to make a shooting motion, you just make your finger like the gun motion and shoot it to screen. Of course, your thumb would hurt. But, hey, you adjust to it. Remember when you first used a mouse? Well, some of you don't. You've never not used a mouse. But when people first started using mice,
yeah,
whole thumb finger thing hurt. But you'll get used to it.
I don't know. The next would be 3D glasses, which, thank God, I'll be glad to see those being get rid of.
Ugh.
Remote controls. No, people are lazy. We're always going to have a remote control of some sort, whether or not it's audio-based or something. Phone numbers. Really? No, no, we're going to have phone numbers, dude. You're kind of reaching here.
Nope.
Primetime TV.
Okay, Ginger, let me ask you a question. What's my phone number off the top of your head? Just say the first six numbers.
I don't know.
What's my email address, Ginger?
Webmaster@GameMatrix.com.
Point proven. No phone numbers, Ginger.
All right. Got a point. primetime television. No, we're still too lazy. And seriously, with all the reality shows, not talking about, you know, King of the Geeks. That's going to be awesome. Just saying. Love you, PBS. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Take me. Vote for me. yeah, there's going to be primetime television. Fax machines. Yeah, those are already pretty much gone.
Ew.
Yeah. Optical discs.
They still have those?
Yeah. Okay, wow. All right, so, yeah, I can see a good portion of these being gone. Some of these seems like a stretch, but don't you take away my windows. Don't you take away my windows, man. We will fight. Don't make me go to Mac. Please don't make me go to Mac. Or, oh, God, and I don't want to be Red Hat either. No.
Okay.
Windows, I love you.
It's all right. Breathe, Ginger. Breathe.
Is it all right? Are we sure?
We're okay.
Are we sure?
It's okay. Ginger?
Yes?
Are you okay? Are you going to make it?
I might. I need my windows.
Y'all, we're gonna have to hold Ginger down. I know. It's okay. It'll be replaced with something better.
No.
No? Okay, well, let me move it along so we can get Ginger off this topic. Those of you who like Ragnarok Online, well, it's headed to the coast. Gravity Interactive, the publisher of Exciting.
Ragnarok's headed to the coast. We're
yes.
Right here in the middle of the boonies.
The Gravity Interactive is the publisher of Exciting, massive multiplayer online role-playing games. Yes, that's MMORPGs, which nobody hardly says anymore. Launched today the latest content patch for their wildly popular anchor title, Ragnarok Online. Enter Port Malaya to discover new quests, added dungeons, the best equipment yet, and an expanded MVP monster cast. There's so much content, it'll be hard to decide what to try first. You can rush on over to the official site and receive a complimentary suntan lotion for your coastal visit at playragnarok.com. You'll probably have to root around because it's a very long link, or you can check our website, gamingatrix.com. I'm not going to read to you this whole long thing. I'm still shocked at the suntan lotion. Does it give some stats or something? I'm really curious to pop over just to see. Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Do you get special stats? You get boosts, buffs, something?
That would be
nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's not what I would. I want to keep that short for a reason. Let me tell you why.
Because
I have some other news from somebody else that we just absolutely adore.
Ooh, what is it? Is it good?
Paradox.
Well, don't get me wrong. I love you guys over Paradox. Some of your stuff.
Yes. Some of the, yeah, no, this is the, I'm talking about, hopefully about the stuff that we like. I'm stuttering. Okay. So I got some more release schedule information for you peoples out there. You know the one we're waiting on, but I'll tell you about a couple more because some of you like.
I saw that this morning. I'm going to pull that up. No, I forgot.
It's okay. War of the Roses is coming. I love how they changed the release dates to just quarters. So quarter three, 2012, so that's right after summer. This one is the game that's supposed to put players into the muddied mail boots of medieval soldiers, allowing them to unlock a wealth of persistent elements, such as a 1,500-pound mounted knight, nimble archer, cunning footman, or anything in between. You also have Star Void. This is a competitive online action RTS. It's a multiplayer RTS where everything is constantly refilled as the commander instantly is allowed to re-enter the battlefield after being eliminated. That's right, people, no respawn time. You take the role of mercenary commander in the outer realms of the galaxy, fighting for control over the rare spaceship fuel Star Void. On the battlefield, the player has an arsenal of combat droids, vehicles, and ingenious abilities ranging from deployable machine gun turrets and minefields to repair namnoids and orbital rocket strikes. Again, quarter three. And then here is Salem. I had to make sure I'm Salem.
Salem! Oh my god, I cannot wait. I'm going to be such an evil witch. And yes, I said witch with a W, people.
Salem, being dubbed the crafting MMO, is set in a version of colonial America summed up as H.P. Lovecraft meets Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know, y'all. Salem, the crafting MMO, will cast players into a vast, uncharted land full of ominous creatures and hungry darkness, and with the aim of flourishing, be it through working to bring civilization to the wilderness, thieving others' hard work, or even witchcraft. Cannot wait. Quarter three, 2012. Then you have Napoleon's campaigns. Mm-hmm. Napoleon.
I don't want to play those. Please don't make me play those.
You get to play as Napoleon. During
Napoleon.
In your Napoleon, you can try to do as Napoleon did and bring Europe to his knees. this is a sequel to the popular grand strategy game of the same name, Napoleon's Campaigns 2, which will model the Little Corporal's campaigns from Egypt to Waterloo with the unprecedented detail that Paradox fans have come to expect. Napoleon's Campaign 2 is the heir of the original and successful Napoleon's Campaign. This historical strategy game is depicted to replaying the whole Napoleonic Wars from 1805 to 1815, and Europe shall kneel. That's not going to come out until quarter four, so you expect that Christmas. Some people do like these.
Somebody does somewhere, otherwise they wouldn't make them.
I'm going to move. They also have one called Ship Simulator, which I'm interested in taking a look at. When you say simulator, I'm interested. But that's supposed to already be out.
Simulating things.
I love simulating things. Rawr. Anyway.
Never mind. I had a comment, but I'd get shot.
You won't get shot. Not in the face, anyway.
I might get fired.
No. Oh, you know what? I hear that. Bad Ginger.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You won't get fired, but I will pull your hair.
Oh. All right. So,
you're not supposed to react that way.
All right. Worms Ultimate Mayhem multiplayer pack DLC now available on PlayStation Network. Today, Wizards of Worming Team 17 announced the arrival of a new DLC pack for Worms Ultimate Mayhem on PlayStation 3. The Worms Ultimate Mayhem multiplayer pack is now available to... really? You just told me that twice. Anyways, the Worms Ultimate Mayhem multiplayer pack features five fantastic new multiplayer maps for use across the numerous multiplayer modes. The multiplayer pack also includes six brand new trophies. We've got a trophy... one new construction, no, we don't. It's not trophies, this is maps. One new construction multiplayer map, Towering Infernal. One medieval multiplayer map, A Hard Day's Night. One new Wild West multiplayer map, End of the Night. Arabian multiplayer map, 1001 Fights. Jurassic multiplayer map, Tyranno Saw Us. Yeah, I'd not be playing that. And six new trophies. The Worms Ultimate Mayhem multiplayer pack is now available for PlayStation 3 from PlayStation Network for €3.19, I think that's euros, £3.99, pounds, and $4.99 USD. All right, so head over to our website right now and check this out. GamingMatrix.com. Do it.
Why do they have to, Ginger?
Because I said so, and if you don't, I will come and I will steal all your cookies.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, here's something some of you will love, some of you whose credit is not so great, or maybe you just want better credit. Well, there's an interesting new thing on the horizon. If you're hankering for more funding news through the day, you can subscribe to a couple of places, but that's not what we're going to tell you about. Lendio, you heard that company? Lendio, actually, has raised $8 million first round funding just yesterday. The company,
really?
Yes, this company helps people around the world build credit with small loans and social-based clout-like scoring systems. Uh-huh. Accel Partners, Bloomberg Capital, Omidyar Network, Inovia Capital, and Metamorphic Ventures participated in this round of funding, as did angel investors Jeff Judge, David Kidder, Scott Heiferman, and Barry Silbert. Now, how is this going to work? We have no idea, because that's all that they told us. I'm going to need you all to write it out more. Anyway, this sounds good to me if it works the way we hope it does, which is the more followers you have, the better your credit is. You know, people just be trying. I'll follow you if you follow me. I'll follow you if you follow me.
Oh, right. Not quite sure what to think about this story. I pulled this from an anonymous feed on Twitter. Love those guys for news. U.S. Senate committee to review Windows RT browser complaints. Microsoft seems to have ruffled a few feathers with its plans for browsers on Windows RT. By the way, this is over on slashgear.com. Mozilla blasted the company over being unable to produce a fully working browser restricted instead of the Metro interface and guidelines, while Microsoft's own Internet Explorer would be able to run on Metro and the classic desktop interface. Google also voiced concerns, and now the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee will review the arguments to see if there's any merit. Mozilla argues that the proposed browser plans for Windows RT are anti-competitive, and it looks like those complaints have gone unnoticed. Senator Herb Kohl, an aide chair of the Antitrust Subcommittee, has confirmed that the committee will be looking into allegations, but there are no formal plans to launch an antitrust investigation right now. Mozilla took to its blog last week in order to detail its exact complaints with the system. On ARM chips, Microsoft gives IE access special APIs absolutely necessary for building a modern browser that it won't give to other browsers, so there's no way another browser can possibly compete with IE in terms of features or performance. And oh my god, IE is always terrible. So, yeah, no. Internet Explorer would gain access to both desktop and Metro APIs, while other browsers would be restricted to just Metro. Despite this, Mozilla has committed to creating a Metro version of the Firefox browser for Windows RT, and Google has confirmed it will be doing the same with Chrome. Whether the two companies will be able to hook into those crucial desktop APIs remains to be seen.
I don't know,
yo. That's kind of crappy, Microsoft. You know, I would just, you know, I'll never leave Windows. I love my Windows. But if you do this and you make me have to use IE, I may have to divorce you.
Ginger, no.
I may have to divorce them. If they make me, oh, man, I hate IE. I hate IE with a passion.
And
so
for
Firefox recently,
For the record, Jay, I was gagging because I think of you like a brother, and incidentally, I will cut you like a brother if you keep talking all that smack, just so you know.
Well, seriously, he put that picture up, and he's kind of cute. How you doing, Jay?
Oh, Ginger, come on. I just
hey, can't... that's my future husband over there.
Damn. Okay, I'm moving along.
Only long enough until I can get half of his gaming collection.
You got to get him in Texas first, Ginger. You know how that works.
All right. Hey, boobs are in Texas. Just saying.
All right. Let's talk about this, our fellow game critic and film critic, Dan Whitehead, whom I vaguely remember from somewhere. I'm sorry, Dan. We may have met once upon a time. You probably don't remember either, but your name sounds familiar. He has 20 years experience and also launched Wordplay. or has recently launched Wordplay, which is a new company aimed at bringing writers from film, comics, and other mediums together with video game developers. He says, I've always been fascinated by the narrative possibility of games. The medium offers narrative possibilities that films can't match, but that doesn't mean the film experience can't be used to improve the writing in games. Amen. The demand is out there. Over the years, I've collaborated with lots of experienced writers who were interested in working on games but had no idea how to find work, and have met lots of developers who wanted to use professional writers to script their games but weren't sure who to approach. Bringing the two together just made sense. Wordplay offers a wide range of writing services, ranging from feedback notes on existing scripts to dialogue and character polishing and full start-to-end project support. If a developer has an amazing gameplay concept and needs a story to make it sell, we can do that, says Whitehead. Alternatively, a game may already have a story, but it's not making sense, and milestones are looming. Dialogue polishing, backstory, plot pacing, character development, these all matter. But again, they get lost in the scramble to solve problems with the code, and that's where we can help. Whitehead began writing games for Amiga Computing. Some of you were like, Amiga? Yeah, Amiga. Go look it up. In 1991, and currently freelances for Eurogamer, one of our homie Slices and Skillets. Hello, Eurogamer, we love you. He also previously contributed to The Hot Dog, The Big Issue, DVD Review, Death Ray, the official Xbox magazine, and Retro Gamer. That's where we know him from. I have met you.
We have met you. Turns out we do know you.
He's also an accomplished author and editor with extensive experience of working with licensed brands. He has also completed publishing projects with major entertainment brands such as Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and Looney Tunes. He also has been a specialist gaming consultant for Guinness Book of World Records, which is sitting on my desk, and is a voting member of BAFTA. Several experienced writers have already are already available for video game script working via Wordplay. I think I'm going to pop over there, because that's actually ultimately where I was trying to go when I ended up in this crazy world. Mm. I love telling a good yarn and adding gameplay to it.
Yes.
So congratulations to Dan, and we will be harassing you again here shortly.
Very shortly, like as in 14 minutes from now.
Yes, exactly, Dan. I will be harassing you. Cause you
oh, I'm sorry, 24 mistake. Minutes. I'll look
yeah. He made a mistake in giving me his email. That was a bad idea, Dan.
She wants to sit in your lap.
Oh, no lap sitting. Not for him.
Oh, okay.
Too early. It's too early for lap sitting. You can't just, you just sit in people's lap all willy-nilly, Ginger.
We can't?
No.
Oh, well. See, these are things I need to know.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You just got to see if they're cute. I don't remember what he looks like. So.
you got a wallet? You got a credit card? You're cute. Oh, explore Entropia Universe's Planet Calypso to win big. New loot includes land deeds worth over $100,000. MindArk, a developer and publisher of Planet Calypso, the oldest planet in the Entropia Universe, massively multiplayer online game, announced today a lucrative new addition to the loot, which players can acquire. By simply hunting, mining, or crafting, players can now find 1 of 1,000 Planet Calypso land deeds. The land deeds are worth $100 each, provide revenue sharing, and can be sold for even more on the open market now that all of the available deeds have been acquired. Through the citizenship program, the deed allows players to participate in revenue sharing with a projected annual ROI of 25% per deed paid weekly, making this loot what keeps on giving. Now, nearly anyone with a computer and internet connection can acquire a piece of an entire virtual world, sharing in the planet partner gross revenue of Calypso. To get the opportunity to obtain one of these 1,000 deeds, colonists on Calypso simply need to play. There will be 400 deeds added to the loot while players are hunting, 200 added while mining, and 240 added while crafting. There will also be an additional 160 deeds included in special events and storylines to be announced later. Deeds will begin dropping on May 15, 2012, and continue throughout the rest of 2012. Those who are not colonists on Calypso can easily create an account and start playing by visiting planetcalypso.com. Planet Calypso is the oldest of the planets in the Entropia universe, with over 1 million registered user accounts and over $400 million USD per year in user-to-user transactions. Wow. All right, so if you want to check out this more, I have this up on GameMatrix.com in, well, actually, it's not quite up. Give me about 2 seconds, and it will be. And then you can go check it out and begin your adventures and hopefully money-making.
Money-making. Did you say money?
Money-making. I know, it's like, I got to find out whether or not this is a pay-to-play game. Because, you know, if I can get land just by, like, being on the rock.
Oh, it's bad. It's too late. You said money and land, and Ginger's already in. Because, you know, Ginger's a landlord.
I know. Speaking of, and y'all play Second Life, I have a couple of places open.
Looking for a place to stay. Molly, you need a house.
Yes, and it has all the best sex features. So,
Ginger, what?
You know, that's why people do these. Yeah.
You know, could you just imagine a real estate agent saying something like that? I just wanted to show you the house. It's all granite countertops, wood floors throughout, and over here is the best sex system anyone could ever hope to. Really, Ginger?
Bed, shower, couch, tub. Yeah, it's all there.
If you click here, all the sex balls will come out, and you can have your... Oh, really? Bad, Ginger.
Yeah, I did my rounds today in Peckham, and people have been going in and apparently playing with balls. Because everyone's all over.
Ginger!
What? I know, that sounds horrible. It's not as bad as it seems.
Daytime. Not safe for work.
I mean, beep, balls, beep. People. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Mm-hmm. See how Ginger does? See?
I didn't say technically anything wrong. So, you know, I always got to add in the technically.
All right. Brain Candy, if you like them, has introduced a new XP system and in-game chat for their beta of their new game called Fray. Brain Candy is a high fructose, I love how they called it, independent French game developer. They're opening the beta period of their upcoming sci-fi squad-based strategy title Fray, which will be coming to PC and Mac this summer, actually. Recruits can head on over to www.fray-game.com to sign up for a slice of the action and also pre-order the game. To celebrate its beta period, Brain Candy has released two new features. Players can get their hands on in the combat mode. The XP system allows players to gain experience in combat to beef up squad strength. The in-game chat is the main hangout for players looking for a fight. That's right, Jay. Bring it. Arrange where to meet on the field, swap battle stories and strategies, or just talk or jab Jay in the eye.
Jab Jay in the eye.
What's
that for?
Pre-ordering the game for a mere $19.99 on Fray-.com will not only guarantee beta access, will also guarantee that XP points gained during beta will carry over after the launch. All pre-orders will also be rewarded with a free extra copy for recruiting friends to the battlefield. That's right. You and the friends should split the cost of a copy, and then they're not going to like that I said that. But, hey, it's all about saving my gamers a buck. If you want to know a little bit about the game, it says you enter the dystopian year of 2098, when hopefully I'll be long gone, where most human interaction is confined in cyberspace, while three megacorporations vie for control of Earth and its remaining resources. Within combat module Fray, players must pledge allegiance to one of the corporations and control a squad of four soldiers of unique classes, weapons, and abilities to engage in combat. Players must assign actions to each squad member. It is then when players will finally see the fruits or failures of their labor while action is played out in real-time, cinematic fashion. Unlike the keen observation, predicting an opponent's moves, and the wisdom of experience are key to emerging victorious. Again, for more information, you can pop over to our site, GameAndMatrix.com, or pop over to BrainCandy.fr, or you can pop over to Fray-game.com, and if you're tired of popping, just sit there and do nothing. Ginger.
All
back,
right.
Back to you, Ginger. How's the traffic
it's
on the I-45?
It's my turn.
How's the traffic on the I-45, Ginger?
It's kind of WTF, yo. All right. Yeah, Journey of Jesus, The Calling Ain't Afraid of No Stinking Demons. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com.
I'm done talking for the day after that. I'm just done.
Yeah. Fox News has an interesting story on one developer who is not afraid to go head-to-head with Blizzard's Diablo 3. In fact, their game features the ultimate demon fighter. Fans, the actual fighting with demons. while Blizzard was launching one of the biggest games of the year, Christian software developer Lightside Games, the Lightside does not have cookies, was launching a new Facebook game featuring Jesus called Journey of Jesus the Calling. They call it the first ever game based on the life of Jesus.
Oh,
besides delivering the story of Jesus and his ministry, the game lets players explore familiar biblical locations, search for items, and interact with the politicians and religious orders of the era. Yeah. All right. Both games immerse the player and you are what you eat, Duzine said in a statement to Fox News. While one game goes one direction, Journey of Jesus the Calling, player walks in the Messiah's steps and an authentic experience of Israel in Christ's time. Hello, cartoons, not authentic. But even Fox News is wise enough to mention that Diablo 3, you are the good guy saving the world. To play the new Facebook game, players simply search for the app and install it. Lightside describes this game as such. Play the first ever video game about Jesus, a fun adventure quest game where you overcome obstacles, fulfill missions, and participate in miracles. Play the story of Jesus. Prior to tackling the story of Jesus, the Lightside told the story of the Old Testament hero Moses in the game The Journey of Moses.
Wow.
Right. Okay, so cool. Like I said, Lightside does not have cookies, so, you know, we're going to have to work that out because I need my cookies. Lightside claims that more than 2 million players played its last social game, Journey of Moses. That game launched in 2011, and I never heard about it. Corey, do you think you're going to give this one a go?
Do I have to answer that? It sounds interesting, but I have yet to run across a game that actually does the whole religious thing and can disengage themselves from the fact of it being a religious game and just tell a story. If you don't go, in my eyes, if you don't attack the stories of the Bible as I'm trying to get you to become Christian and say, I'm just going to tell the story as they're written and just let you enjoy, and then I'm going to add all the fantastical stuff that you add in when you have a story. And I know I had an argument with a lady at a beauty salon about this the other day, the reason why she refuses to watch Supernatural. They play with a lot of biblical storylines. It's not the truth. Honey, honestly, neither was the Ten Commandments when you watch it, but I know several Christians that watch it every year on Easter, and it is probably the most far-fetched, far-reaching, as far as what we know, stories I've ever seen. But everybody watches it, and they love it. So if you can disengage yourself from what you think is the truth and just enjoy it for what it is, it would be good. And I'm worried. That's why I don't know if I'm going to check this one out. Left Behind just really left a bad taste in my mouth. I was really angry. Although I do think the little Moses game on Facebook is kind of cute. The Noah's Ark thing, it's cute.
I haven't played it. I may. I know. Jin's horrible. But I may have to actually try this.
It's cute. It's a Facebook game, so. If it had been an actual simulator with stuff like I had to take care of the animals and it had a clock ticking kind of thing, you know, like a tried and true simulator. It's got a clock ticking saying you got until this day to have all these animals. And then, you know, before and after the flood kind of thing. That's what I mean. They're like, if you're going to, religious people out there, if you're going to develop a game, go get this story we were just talking about earlier with the guy with the wordplay. Go get some writers. And let them just embellish just a little bit. If anybody who's really interested or they're moved or touched by something they're seeing on the screen, they're going to go and do the research to find out if it's real. You don't need to try to teach a lesson, but just make it fun. And you can throw some lessons in there, you know, on the sly. Left Behind was just,
yeah.
Bleh.
I don't know.
I'm going to need y'all not to do that again. I'm still disgusted.
I didn't play, so I don't know. But I do know you've told me that it was horrible, so.
Yeah, that is one of the most scathing reviews I've ever written, and we're hard on some people, especially that zombie sim that I'm not going to mention again.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, is it something about zombie?
The little zombie sim that couldn't.
Yeah, there we go. That was awesome. I love that.
You can find that on our website. I had to. That's horrible. Oh.
Do you know what we do? We get some real stinkers, unfortunately. That one you gave me recently.
Anyway, moving along. See, we're like, now we're all upset. I hate talking about bad games. Okay, those of you who are looking for your ancestors, a new company called Techstars, 2011 alum. There's 2011, good God, who wrote this? Mocavo is the name of the company. They've raised $4 million in their first round of funding in a bid to help people find their ancestors through its search engine. They just announced this today. Mocavo started getting notices when it became part of the Techstars Boulder program in the summer of 2011. Its goal falls somewhat in line with the major site and Ancestry.com. Yeah. And it uses a powerful search engine to help people connect the dots about their genealogy. And they said since their launch in March of 2012, they focused on creating the most engaging and social and social experience in the research of family history. COO Ryan Hunter wrote this on his Mocavo blog this morning, said that they've already created a custom search engine focused in genealogy, an automated system to send undiscovered content to users, and mobile web apps to self-publish documents and photos. VentureBeat is reporting this morning also that the coveted first round of funding comes from Foundry Group. Seth Levine, Foundry Group's managing director, will join Mocavo's board as well. Hunter is saying that they've had a great first year and are excited that Foundry shares their passion and vision in the direction of the industry. Boulder, Colorado-based Mocavo, previously raised $1 million in seed funds from a long roster of angel investors, most of them named Dave. Yes, I'm not joking. Dave McClure, Dave Cohen, David Bonderman, David Cologne, David Carlson, and others. They need to just get a group together and call themselves Dave. I wonder if they're actually going to charge like Ancestry.com does.
I don't know. That'd be interesting to know.
Have you ever used Ancestry.com?
Yes.
I have, and I had a difficult time with them. They didn't have very much information. And this was some years ago before they started doing all the ads. I haven't been back since, but they relied heavily on information that somebody else may have put up. But especially when you're dealing with my family ancestry, being of Native American and African American mm-hmm. background, not a lot of those people could read or write at the time. For two, put it this way, our family records were normally kept in a family Bible. Those of you who are from the South know this. Everything, mm-hmm. birth certificates, yes. was written in a Bible, and the one that we had was destroyed in a fire. So unless, somebody managed to get a sneak peek at that before it was burned, we really don't have any information. There's like umpteen million spellings of my real last name, which is not Roberts. When I say umpteen million.
You mean that's not your real name? Oh, my God.
Some people think it is.
I know. But, I had somebody ask me that the other day. Is that your real name?
Yeah, sure.
Totally.
It is now. It is if you call me that. I could never find anything. So I was like, this is useless. I think it's better if you guys go to the census board bureau and ask the people, can you have those records, and start scanning and indexing them would be a good idea. And then I would pay for that, because then I wouldn't have to go down there. I sat in there for 2 days straight one day, like for 8 hours, looking through trying to find records. It's a needle in the haystack the size of China.
I bet it was too. My family's kind of all over the place, so.
Hey, look, and I didn't even touch on my dad's side with the German people. Well, I don't think I'm having any trouble finding them.
Yeah, my dad's side, at least on his father's side, I can search back. They all came from Germany. I know where they came from. My grandmother's side, she's
Native
American.
Are you German? You're German too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Baron von something or other that I'm not going to say.
Erring, and I'm not going to say the rest of it.
So they're all from Germany. There's like a castle and all that fun stuff I got pictures of. But no, my grandmother on my dad's side is all Indian, so there's no finding that. And then my mom's side is like, I'm not even going to try.
See, they need the Census Bureau to get those old records and that kind of business.
Yeah. All right, so.
We have time for one more for you.
One more. This one is kind of interesting. I don't know what to think about it. I'm pulling from GamePolitics.com. Looking for Treasure, a Q Quest crowdfunding drive. In November of last year, a marine archaeological company that has been working in the waters around Africa and Asia for the last 17 years decided that they wanted to bring their experience in deep-sea treasure hunting to life as a video game. So they began working with Estoril, Portugal-based developer Arconautis, to build a strategy game called AQ Quest. In the game, players take on the task of creating the perfect atmosphere for treasure hunting, from building the perfect team of specialists and investing research to buying the right equipment and stocking up supplies. From there, players will search for wrecks to investigate. When on a given mission, players will send crew members down into the depths while avoiding dangers like sharks and running out of air. Unlike sharks, some of your challenges will be of the two-legged variety, corrupt politicians, pirates, and aggressive competition. While they have an abundance of real-world experience and inspiration, they lack the resources to continue to develop the game, so they have launched an appeal on Indiegogo.com, the indie-focused crowdfunding website. So far, they haven't raised much, but if you like the project, you can help them out by funding the rest of this game's development. It is certainly a unique game concept that could work well as a real-time strategy game. check out the video for some more background on the game. Yes, there is a video, GamePolitics.com. Go check it out. The game also aims to bring awareness to the importance of preserving world maritime heritage, as well as helping to fund future expeditions with revenue generated by it. I think that's kind of neat. And I do. I think that could be a cool little game, too.
Fishing.
You know I like fishing. And this is like fishing on like big scale, man. You're like fishing for boats and buried treasure and spaceships. And
I was watching real people fish the other day, and I decided it's not for me.
No. I was out walking the other day, and somebody was fishing, and yeah, the person I was talking to was like, "But you love fishing and game. You know, you could go fishing with me. I'll take the real reel, and you can take your game. There's no power. My game would die soon. No, sorry."
Got to understand how our minds work. I was like, ew, yeah. It's hot. There's bugs.
Yeah, I that was that's my big one right there. Bugs. I don't do bugs. I don't do bugs.
You and me both. I was
I had a window open painting room the other day. A whole bunch of moths came in because it got late. Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. And I used to be the little girl that collected bugs, so I don't understand, but hey.
I don't like them.
I don't like them either anymore. I used to put them in jars, and now I want nothing to do with them. All right, quickly before we got to go. PC gamers, rejoice! French indie developer.
Wait, what am I rejoicing for?
French indie developer, the Game Baker. Yeah, the Game Bakers have released their debut game, a fan favorite called Squids, for the PC. This casual RPG is already hugely popular on the iPhone and iPad, and now the rest of you get to see what the fuss is all about. Let me see if they put any information on what it's about. Oh, it's developed by a team that has years of experience working on AAA computer and console games. The lighthearted Squids has a diverse appeal thanks to its casual yet very addictive gameplay, tactical RPG-inspired elements, whimsical cartoon art style, and humorous adventure storyline. The Squids' lush underwater world is being threatened by the insidious Black Ooze. I love that word. Now it's up to a ragtag team of squid heroes to fend off the ooze-infected crustaceans and protect their homeland from certain destruction. I said with certain destruction. We prefer with destruction. You can choose among four classes of squids, each with their own unique ability and equipment. You can build a team of squid heroes to engage in turn-based battles against rival crabs and shrimp for dinner. Oh, they didn't say for dinner. Sorry. The billiards-like controls are easy to master. Simply use the mouse to grab a squid by the tentacle, take aim, and fling it across the battlefield. That's kind of funny. But success can be harder to achieve, requiring strategy and skill as players learn to use the environment, their party's strengths, and the enemy's weaknesses to the squid's advantage. A catchy soundtrack and comical animations complement the casual playing experience. To purchase Squids directly from Game Bakers, you can head over to SquidsTheGame.com. That's their website. Yeah, I don't know if we'll be playing this one. They may hook me. I haven't looked at it yet, and I'm refusing to, although they want us to. All right, it is that time again for us to leave you kind people that love to listen to us prattle on for a whole hour about nothing. Horace, no. Did you? It's just under the sea treasure. You know what? I'm done talking to you for the rest of the day, Horace. And I think we've lost our ginger anyway. So we
no, no, go. I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, couldn't hear you unless you weren't saying anything.
I was here. I had somebody.
Anyway,
I'll tell you about that in a minute. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Think me on the strangest things. I'm all like.
Yeah, they find you in places. As usual, you all know where to find us, Gamermatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and here at Blog Talk 24/7. If you miss us, you can take us with you. Download us to your iPhone, your iPad. Yes, you can put us on your Zoom. It'll be a lot harder to get us on your Zoom. Not too hard, actually. Somebody asked me how. I'm not going to walk you through instructions right here, but give me a jingle. I may explain it to you. It's kind of hard, but kind of easy. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay out of trouble.
Yes.
Okay, really, GLaDOS, let's try that again. Apparently, GLaDOS does not like the Beastie Boys. Who knew?
Apparently.
Wow. GLaDOS, it's the Beastie Boys. Come on, girl. You love the Beastie Boys, don't you, GLaDOS? One more time?
Come on, GLaDOS. Do it, GLaDOS.
Nope, you guys are going to have
GLaDOS
that in your head all day. All right, guys, we're out. Ginger, tell them bye.
Later, boys and girls.